This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:16 in the evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're addressing our falling fertility rate. So from 1.9 babies to 1.8 babies, which matches what we're seeing in other developed nations. And we're just, I guess, trying to see whether this is something that is a cause for concern, whether it's potentially something that we don't need to worry about all that much. And to help us out with that, we have Marcela Suazo, who is the representative for the United Nations Population Fund. Marcela, welcome to the show. So firstly, why has a falling fertility rate traditionally been seen as a cause of concern?
I think that has evolved over time, and it depends on the economic development point of the countries. One of the concerns is probably that if we consider that in the present way of production, capacities of the countries to compete are completely linked and dependable on the amount of people with possibilities to produce. So this has a strong correlation. Nonetheless, we have countries that have a very high fertility rate, that have a large number of population, but they have not been able to reach levels of development that allow for each person to receive the benefits of development. And they are missing basic things such as nutrition or health or education. So it is seen as a cause of major concern, but probably we need to discuss it further to really understand if we should be concerned or what are the real issues that we are talking about. Is it really about fertility?
Are these concerns legitimate, or could a falling fertility rate be a good thing for countries and economies that want a different way of viewing the population?
Well, from the United Nations Population Fund point of view, what is important is that the basic human rights and reproductive rights are placed in the hands of the population, that more families, more couples have the opportunity to access the information and the service that would allow them to plan their families. So it goes beyond, yes, it is linked to the economic factor. Yes, if we see it only from the economic point of view, it will probably take us as this is a good, not necessarily a point of concern. It doesn't need to be seen on the wrong way. But on the other hand, we would also like to add the human rights, the reproductive rights, the basic needs that the people and the families should have to be able to plan their families.
And what factors might allow for a depopulating country to thrive?
Well, it is all related to the economic, to the cultural, and also to the policies that you put in place. And one of the issues that you see consistently in all of the countries that have transited from higher fertility rates to lower fertility rates and into becoming an aging population, and that have also reached a higher level of development, you see that all of them have had integrated systems that allow for a broadening the opportunities for the people themselves to decide. So, you know, we are going to the next productive revolution in the world right now. So up to now, the countries that were able to have certain levels of success are those, first of all, the ones that were the owners of the natural wealth. And the other ones are the ones that had enough human capabilities or human capacities to produce at competitive levels of cost. And this was what created, you know, the moving economies. I think that going forward, the new technologies are really going to bring new opportunities that do not necessarily require the number of people that can participate in the production capacity. But probably it will require this human capital. And the human capital is not only talking about knowledge or professional knowledge or professional training. It's also personal and the ability to establish a personal space, like within your families, within your communities, within your countries, and in relation to the rest of the world. Because we are looking towards a revolution in which we are going to be individuals connected not only to the community and the country, but we're also going to be connected outside of the borders.
Can you talk to us about some policies that other countries have designed to anticipate the changes that come from a declining population?
Yes, I think that you have all kinds of reactions of countries. You have a number of countries that are looking at policies that will motivate or facilitate the increase of fertility rates. But there's also a lot of contradiction and discussion about how is the women's participation in the labor force has had a negative impact in the fertility rates. And we believe that one of the policies at the core, at the heart of any public policy is really the gender equality, so that the decision is based on the couple on how many children and what spacing of the children they would like to have. And they should be able to have access to plan their families. And when we talk about family planning, we are not talking about not having children. We are talking about having the children that the couple feels they would like to have or would be able to have, the number and when to have them, so that this process comes by choice and not by chance, so that they are prepared in order to have families that can be well-developed and strengthening the capacities also of the communities and the countries. There are other countries that have implemented, for example, a flexible migration patterns, and they allowed a certain number of migration so that they can ensure that they will have enough capacity in the productive area to remain competitive and to be able to fulfill their capacities in competitiveness. So those are other policies that are put in place. Other countries, there are even increased, for example, certain family benefits in order to motivate them to have or to increase their fertility or to have more children. And in certain countries, you see, for example, flexible working hours for parents that have more than two children or that have more than one child, or they have sometimes government support, childcare centers. Well, there are different kinds of policies that the different countries are trying to put in place in order to ensure. But this goes back to the first question that you asked. You know, it's because we are all concerned. The concern is about not having a replacement level on the population.
Right. But there's also this simple and straightforward notion that, you know, we have a finite amount of resources, so having fewer people is better. There'll be enough to go around. What are your thoughts on that?
Before coming here, some time ago, I was the regional director for Latin America and the Caribbean. And we had a lot of conversations before Rio, the conference in Rio, about this. And a lot of them talk about, you know, less people will really save the pattern, the environment, the ecological impact and all of this. One of the things was less people will change the pattern of consumption, because what's affecting the environment is not the number of poor people in the world. It's the number of rich people in the world. It's the pattern of consumption that we have. So the ones that have less opportunities for consumption, not because they want to, but because they don't have. Probably they are not imitating the pattern of conceptions that have more. So I am not really sure that having less people is going to make a... We can be more and respect the environment, but by changing the patterns of consumption that we have, and we can be less and continue destroying the environment at an amazing level, an amazing fast pace, if we don't control our consumption pattern. And the other thing is that where, you know, in what is produced with the major pollution producers in the world. And that one of the industries that really it makes all of these is the energy producers. So I am not sure if changing the technology for production and if using less polluting materials, you know, by changing, using new materials, will be as effective, even if we have more people than today. And in fact, yes, we are probably at for example, Malaysia is 1.9, I think, the replacement level, and 2.2, I think, for between 1.9 and 2.2, depending. But the population will continue to grow until the 2100s. So it's not that the population as we know it today will remain stagnant. The population will continue to grow. So the discussion on the use of the resources and the natural resources will only change if we change our patterns of consumption, energy consumptions, but other kinds of consumptions also.
Marcela, thank you so much for joining us. You just heard from Marcela Suazo, the representative for the United Nations Population Fund. If you have any thoughts on the issue of falling fertility or population rates in the world, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back with Skip Intro after the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.